How do you price an ad on your channel? That's probably the most common question we get from other creators. And it was the biggest question we had when we first started on YouTube. So we're hosting a live workshop on how to price yourself. This is everything that we've learned in the past 13 years of being on YouTube and our simple three-step process that'll help you develop concrete pricing. So if you want to join us for this live session, just go to colinandsamir.com/live. Enter your email and you'll get all the information about our live event on May 9th. All right, hope you enjoy this episode of The Colin and Samir Show.
Today on The Colin and Samir Show, we are talking about the most successful creator on TikTok. He goes by the name Khaby Lame. He has 114 million followers, and 8 out of the top 25 most liked TikToks on the platform are his. That's more than any other creator on the platform.
Okay, so if you want to go check out Khaby, you've probably seen him, but just go on to TikTok, type in Khaby Lame. It's K-H-A-B-Y. Once you type that in, you'll find him. And if you want to follow along, you can either check out his TikToks or you can check out this episode on our YouTube channel.
Today, we're talking about his fascinating story. He had exponential growth in a very short amount of time. And the interesting thing about Khaby Lame, you'll never hear him speak. His videos are completely silent. He doesn't say anything.
But a lot of what he's doing and how he's grown applies to all creators and creators of all types. You don't have to just be a video creator to pull lessons away from how Khaby has grown to have such global appeal.
If you are unfamiliar with him, his format, his genre is basically poking fun at life hacks, but life hacks that actually overcomplicate situations rather than make them easier.
We covered Khaby in the published press a couple months ago, actually around the time that he had 65 million followers on TikTok. Now, I mean, he's almost doubled. But if you want to be in the know about everything that's happening in the creator economy, subscribe to the published press. It's our newsletter that we send out 2 times a week covering the top 3 stories in the creator economy. You can check that out at thepublishpress.com.
Okay, so today on the episode, we're going to be talking about who Khaby Lame is, 3 reasons that he's taken off in such a short amount of time, and lastly, how he's making money off of his following.
So first of all, who is Khaby Lame and are we saying his name right?
Well, his full name is, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it's Khaby Lame, I believe.
You think it's Khaby?
Like, I mean, again, I almost guarantee that is not right.
You were an Italian major.
He's not Italian. He's from Senegal.
But he lives in Italy.
He lives in Italy. He moved to Italy when he was 1 year old.
Okay.
And he's been working from the time that he was very young. He actually grew up in social housing and he had tons of jobs to help provide for his family. I mean, he was a window cleaner. He was a dishwasher. He was a line cook. He's done all types of things. He was a factory worker going into 2020 and lost his job because of the pandemic.
Is that when he started posting TikToks or was he posting TikToks before then?
I believe that's when he started posting TikToks. He said he was a huge fan of Will Smith. That's one of his idols. He was a huge fan of just making people laugh, mm-hmm. something that made him feel really good. So he wanted to take to TikTok and try and do that.
So Khaby takes to TikTok and...
Try saying that 5 times fast.
Khaby takes to TikTok.
Yeah.
Khaby takes to TikTok. Khaby takes to TikTok. Khaby takes to TikTok.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
So Khaby takes to TikTok and... uses the strategy that propels him. Like it's like an accelerant. So why don't we talk a little bit about how his content works and why is it so viral?
We have to talk about the fact that it transcends language. He does not speak. So anyone, anywhere in the world can watch one of his videos and enjoy it.
We talk about this thing called the over-the-shoulder test, which essentially suggests that if you can look over someone's shoulder who's watching this piece of content and still enjoy it without the sound on, without context, if that works, like if you do enjoy it over someone's shoulder, then it has something in it that can go viral.
You've increased your maximum potential audience size. For a show like this, if we turned the sound off, it's not that interesting.
So this show relies on the context. You have to care about the stuff we talk about. You have to understand English and you have to want to sit and watch for long periods of time. So that's completely different from what he does. It's short snippets that don't require language, that are visually engaging. The potential audience size just ballooned all the way to anyone in the world. Whereas our show has a potential audience size that's a lot smaller.
We were talking about this before we started recording, but his expressions remind us of like a Charlie Chaplin or even mimes mm-hmm. in general. Like being a mime is something that I looked into and it has been around since, not like, because I wanted to be one.
Oh, I was
one.
Like, you looked into it for yourself?
I was not interested in becoming one.
Okay.
But I looked into it for the purposes of this show and yeah. It goes back to ancient Greece. But there have been mimes in all types of cultures throughout history.
Yeah, he mirrors the silent film actors, the Charlie Chaplins, the Buster Keatons, or even, you know, a more recent time, the Mr. Beans.
Or even the Colin and Samir circa 2013.
We did make a silent film. If you can find that on the internet, congrats.
So long story short, it's all about reducing the barriers of entry and having the maximum number of people that could even watch your videos. He's made it very easy for you to enjoy his videos, and the largest possible group of people, which is the entire world, literally everyone, can enjoy it.
I mean, this is something that Mr. Beast is trying to do now by translating and dubbing his content into multiple languages, realizing like to make the biggest impact, to have the largest potential audience size, he has to translate his videos. What's amazing is that Kabi's language is just human expression, and that is a universal language.
And we'll get to this, but it's even helping him from a business perspective. He does some deals with Netflix, and they can use his content across every different account, whether it's Brazil or Spain.
Right.
It is able to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Another example of this is trick shots. We made a video about this a long time ago, but trick shots, like watching someone throw a ball into a hoop, is just visually engaging and fun to watch, no matter if the sound is on or off.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Skateboarding is a similar type of way. You have to be a fan of skateboarding, but you don't really need audio.
Okay, so the second thing is that Kabi is a curator. He's essentially pulling content from TikTok or from the internet, and that gives him an endless supply of ideas because his ideas are based on what the entire internet is uploading. So someone uploads something, he can take that and turn it into one of his reaction videos. One of the most challenging parts of being a creator is coming up with ideas. And when you're a curator, your job is essentially to take what other people are doing, what other people's ideas are, what other people are uploading, and then put your spin on that. So that gives you an influx of ideas, an influx of content for you to put your spin on.
This reminds me of America's Funniest Home Videos or Ridiculousness on MTV. Those shows can go on forever because there will always be funny videos to laugh at.
There's always going to be an influx of content from the internet, but also now from Kabi's fans, from this massive fan base who wants to see him react. They're going to send him videos too.
Also, this is a little bit meta, but even right now we are curating for all of you as creators. So we are choosing creators that you should know about.
Man, can you imagine if someone's reacting to this video of us reacting to Kabi Lame reacting to other videos?
Curating creator economy talk show content.
So curation as creation, I think, is going to be something that continues to pick up in the creator space. It's been around forever, but I think it'll pick up more and more because it's more enjoyable to find these videos through Kabi than it is to find these videos on my own. Like if I found this video on my own and I just watched it and I was like, that's ridiculous.
There's no community
There's nothing around that. I want a creator to show me and be like, that's dumb. You could just do it like this. And now I'm like, that's funny. Kabi Lame added his personality to that. And that's now, this makes it enjoyable. And he's the constant. So I get to watch him over and over and over again, even though these videos are changing. I'd rather discover this content through him.
And think about how many TikToks are uploaded in a given day. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
We need someone to sift through all these different types of content for us.
Right.
It's just too much.
I think creators will continue to go down this path of curation because the internet is so vast that we need hosts to show us what's happening on the internet.
Cody Ko does a great job at this.
I'd rather watch the clip with Cody's commentary than watch the clip on my own because then I have to formulate my own thoughts around it and understand how it fits into the greater context.
Who wants to formulate their own thoughts about anything?
Not me.
Not you.
Not me. I'd rather Cody's thoughts.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'll take someone else's.
I'll take Cody's. I'd also take Cody's hair.
I think you had Cody's hair at one time.
I did. Yeah. I miss it.
Okay. Now, another reason why I think Kabi Lame grew exponentially is because his process for creation is a multiplayer experience. It doesn't rely solely on him. And he talked in an article I read about how his audience will often tag him in a video that he should be reacting to. So they'll tag him in a video of some ridiculous product or some ridiculous method and then say, Kabi, come here, solve this problem for us, please.
I think what's amazing is that TikTok offers a functionality for multiplayer where they have Stitch and Duet, which is suggesting that content is meant to be used and reformatted and recreated over time, right? And like reinterpreted. It's almost like memes. Memes are multiplayer, right? Like if you see this meme and it has this text on top of it, then someone else takes it for their community and puts totally different text on top of it. And then someone else takes it and puts totally different text. Now that's like, that's become this multiplayer experience where it originated here and then it continues to change.
It's not just creators making something for audiences. Everyone is essentially a creator. Mm-hmm. So the days of walking into a movie theater and just sitting and taking in the video are over when it comes to social media. We're all there to build upon what's consistently being put out.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes it enjoyable too. Because when you're an audience member, you have impact over if you sent a video to Kabi and then he reacts to it, that's really exciting. And probably what's going to happen is that audience members are actually going to create videos for Kabi to react to.
Which I feel like is maybe already happening because some of the things he's reacting to
are insane.
Are ridiculous.
Where do these videos come from? They're insane. Like I look at them and I'm like, what was the original purpose of this video? There's one where this girl drops her keys underneath a park bench and then takes out like a gadget to like get her keys. And Kabi comes over and just like goes underneath the park bench and grabs the keys. And it's really funny because it's like, yeah, why would you need a gadget to get, you could just reach under. And I'm like, was that a joke initially that someone made that?
Or the zip ties on the side of the glass to turn it into a mug?
Granted, I thought that was cool. I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the better ones, I guess.
I would try that. That was one of the better ones. But it reminds me of Unnecessary Inventions, which is a fantastic Instagram account. I absolutely love it. But he essentially just makes things that are completely unnecessary. And it's really fun to watch because it's like commentary on inventions. But Kabi is also commentary on things that are just overcomplicated, things that are absurd. And also he's doing commentary on the overproduced nature of social media.
Yeah.
He's basically saying like, hey, this stuff is like so hyperbolic, so ridiculous. Like
influencers, like, have you lost your mind?
Yeah, just like,
really? We need that?
I find him to be like the antithesis of it. Yeah. Like something that's just very down to earth, very like, he's the everyman. He's the guy who's just like, what are we doing, guys? You know? And I think that's really fun.
But is there a space for him to make money when you're reacting to other people's content? How does that work for him? How does he develop into a business considering he's the second most followed person on TikTok?
Number one, I think whatever video he reacts to, we're talking about getting 40 million, 60 million views worldwide. If I'm a movie studio, I'm probably like, can you react to a clip of my movie?
Yeah, Netflix is already doing that.
Yeah.
So he works with Netflix and he reacts to some of their series.
I think you have to think about things with global appeal. Or is it like Starbucks, right? Is there one where like, he goes to a Starbucks, they write his name wrong, and he's like, and then he writes his name right. And he's like, couldn't you just write it
correctly? Anything that you could do.
Yeah.
That too.
And anything that's,
you can integrate
that's
with.
Global. Like Starbucks is all over the world. McDonald's all over the world.
He also, I hate to break it to you like this, but he has one of your dream sponsors.
I know, Colin. I know. Barilla.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
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 I don't know.
When are they going to call?
I don't know. I don't know.
When are they going to call?
Watching. Hopefully Barilla's watching right now.
When are they going to call?
Yeah.
It's tough.
But sometimes you're kind of a traitor to Barilla because you use like a chickpea alternative.
No, they have alts. They have alt.
Barilla has alt pasta?
They have alt nudes, yeah.
Okay, so maybe you could promote their alt nudes.
Yeah, so he can promote anything that's a video clip that he can react to. I really think the Starbucks one is a good one. Like, feel free to take that one, Kabi, or Starbucks, whoever's listening. Because that's like universal appeal. It doesn't need language. Everyone in the world knows the experience of getting a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
And having your name written out incorrectly.
Incorrectly, yeah. Which I think is a massive
part of their... Starbucks
should
just lean into at this point.
No, that is, I think
have
it's,
they?
I think it's their marketing strategy.
To mess up your name.
Yeah, because then you take a photo of it.
You know what's
it's
insane?
A way to drive user-generated content.
That people recently have been coming up to you and saying, hey, Colin.
Yeah, that is insane. But it's because I think everyone thinks that our collective name is Colin and Samir.
So they just...
So yeah. And Samir is the last name.
Strange.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Like it's a band name, not our individual names.
Right. Yeah.
Another way that Kabi is monetizing is with his shop, which is kind of genius because it's just different types of products that oversimplify things in your life.
That's,
but that you also don't really need.
That I love.
Like it'll be a popcorn maker. Technically, you could just use the microwave. So it's kind of like him selling some of the things that he also roasts.
Yeah, but I love it because he could roast it and you could just be like, he just gets exposure and you might be like, oh, well,
but maybe you actually want it.
I kind of want that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like when you have this much exposure, you just have to think about like what's universal. What's really interesting to me is that he's starting to get featured in fashion. He's like doing ads with Hugo Boss on his TikTok as well.
The fashion world just loves TikTokers.
Yeah, it's really fascinating that fashion is intersecting with TikTok, because Charlie Addison and Cobby, Bella Porch, like all these TikTok creators are getting featured with high fashion brands. But the other ones, I think, adds up, right? Like their personalities, their driving culture. Cobby, though, is very different from them.
Oh, completely different.
He's a completely different type of creator. So seeing him with Hugo Boss was kind of different and strange. But I think because his face and his reaction, again, he stands for the everyman. Like he is the guy who's just like, all of this is ridiculous. Now he's actually, in a sense, extremely relatable. Like he talks about how he spent his money and even his financial goals as a creator. I think because of his roots as like, I mean, we're talking about 18 months ago, he was a factory worker.
Yeah, crazy.
That's crazy. But he's talking about like what he did with his first level of financial success was buy a new phone so he could film better looking videos.
Yeah. His story is really inspiring. The fact that he is so unlike the people around him on that list is super important. Mm-hmm. Just giving that message that you can be anywhere in the world and in a short matter of time, be successful as a creator. And especially when it comes to TikTok, you don't have to be a white American girl, which right. is the majority yeah. of when you look at the top of that list, mm-hmm. that's what's there.
So in terms of takeaways from Cobby Lame, I actually think there's takeaways beyond just being a creator. If you're putting anything out there and you want it to have mass appeal, looking at what Cobby's doing is really smart. First and foremost, looking at, does your brand transcend language? Is it universally understandable? Is it just a human emotion that people can understand?
You're making people laugh. Like that's yeah. the core of it for him. He just liked making people laugh and then wanted to do that online.
And he took down all the barriers to entry. Just said, anyone can enjoy this comedy.
He has a great quote where he says, I just wanted to reach as many people as possible. And the best way to do that was to not speak.
That's really good. The second is, you don't always have to create something original. You might just want to present it in a different way with your spin on it.
To an audience that's never seen it before.
Exactly. And that's curation. And I think curation, because the internet is so vast now, is a massive phase that we're going to get into here where it's like, help me figure out what to watch. You be the person who brings me the content that I want to watch.
Are we the people that brought you Cobby Lame?
Did we curate Cobby Lame for you? The third is that audiences don't just want to watch anymore. They want to create with you. So that means creating a multiplayer experience where people can submit stuff to you, where they can create with you, where even what you're making is attainable, right? Like Cobby Lame, the way he creates content is attainable. You can also create like that. So there's a level of like community that builds around that where everyone wants to see Cobby do something, but you could also do the same thing as Cobby. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, he has a sustainable low lift format that if something happens in the world, if there's a great clip that's out there, he can react to it
immediately. Yeah. It would have been funny if he did a Facebook one where it was like an outage and he just went and plugged in a computer.
Yeah,
and was
that
like,
would have been really good.
Just plug it in. Yeah, like, what are you guys doing? Yeah.
So March 2020 is actually when he lost his job. By late April of 2021, he became the most followed internet personality in Italy, and he surpassed Gianluca Vacchi, a wealthy businessman. So this guy was like your more traditional influencer. Mm. And in less than a year, Cobby Lame took him over. By April 2021, Cobby Lame had 10 million followers. By June, he had 65 million. That's crazy.
I think people want to see themselves on social. I think that's something that's important. You know, like you don't want it to get so distant from your reality. You do want some level of your stars. You want some of them to be sensational, right? Or it's like, that's just pure aspiration, whatever that person's doing. So let's go Charli D'Amelio, Addison Rae. That's like, they're at the Met Gala. They're on reality shows. They're with celebrities. They're with the Kardashians. It's just like, that is celebrity. Cobby Lame, you just want to see him like be a dude. You know, he's like, yeah. Oh, that's just a guy. And he's just like me. And I think that roots him so much in that top three as like, yeah, it's just like me. Also, his compilations on YouTube.
They crush.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Cobby Lame, if you ever find yourself in Los Angeles, we would love to have you on the show.
That would be great. But
Is he on Twitter?
I don't think he would speak. Would he speak? Would he just say things?
Sure, he speaks some English and he speaks Italian, and I can speak some Italian.
Okay, so this was a segment for you to say,
this
speak Italian.
This segment is called Colin Speaks Italian.
Yeah, did you know?
Welcome to Colin Speaks Italian.
Okay.
So we actually wrote about Khaby Lame in June in the published press, and we wrote that in 30 days, he posted 90 videos, amassing 62 million followers. 30 days, 62 million followers with 90 videos.
Wow.
TikTok, man.
That's crazy. Also, if you're just hearing about Khaby now, you could have heard about him in June if you subscribed to the published press.
Thepublishedpress.com. Just put in your email. Subscribe to the published press. To everyone who doesn't subscribe to the published press.
Yeah, hit him.
Who do you think you are?
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, what Colin said.
Third.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Right.
Fourth, stay a kid forever because it's more fun. Yeah.
Fifth, get a grip. Thanks for watching this episode of the Colin and Samira Show. We will see you next week.